Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Kool-Aid drinkers,
we are back, baby. We are back. It is August 21st, and we are here to talk about preseason game two and what that means to the roster and things of that nature, and any other small things you'd like to cover, like a certain high school U of D graduate, right, Connor? Getting signed by
that's right.
You can
Scott Nelson, legend.
You give us the insights a little bit in a moment, but regardless, the Lions coming off. Not a great game, 25-7 in the week two preseason game, but they did it all for UJ because they lost in convincing fashion. They wanted to leave no doubt on the field, UJ, that they were going to lose that
game. Thank you, Lions. Handily. Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, we should introduce the crew, you know?
I am. What? Sorry. I want to get into that. But it's the Lions lose 25-7, but let's get into all that. But in a moment, I am going to introduce the Bukule crew that is here, which is everybody. So I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got UJ.
Hey, everybody.
Connor.
Yo.
Bob.
Hello, hello.
And Red Dog.
Yo.
So, the Lions come out. They throw for 96 yards or 80. Yeah, 96 yards in this game. I'm sorry. Wait, 114 yards. The ESPN math is not adding up correct because Sudfeld threw for 80 and Bridgewater threw for 34. What do you guys think about Teddy Bridgewater first experience? Good signing,
awful,
5-11 in the preseason.
Awful.
Should we get rid of him?
Pretty rough.
Get rid of him. Yeah. Got him now.
Got him.
Total backup O-line, and he's been there what, like 4 days?
Yeah. I think he's fine.
He's good.
Well, let's just jump right into it. Was there anything that stood out to you in this game? And I'm going to start with Bob. Anything that stood out to you in the second preseason game here?
No, not really. I didn't watch the whole game either, I got to admit. So maybe passive's deeper dive on this thing.
All right. How about you, UJ?
All right. The one thing I noticed, I think that stood out, I mean, aside from individual play of certain players, the lack of depth on our O-line is slightly concerning because after Glasgow and Sorsdahl, besides the front starting five, we got nobody. They're terrible. They're awful. And I don't think any of their jobs are safe at all. I think they're going to be scouring the waiver wire looking for somebody with some experience that they can. No one stood out in that game on that O-line. It was terrible.
Yes.
So that's the one concerning thing to me. So if we have injuries during the year, the lack of depth could come back and hit us. It's slightly concerning to me. That stood out to me.
I will say, I don't think many teams have great O-line depth beyond their starting five in the NFL.
It's very, very
so, like, it's a concern, but also kind of run-of-the-mill. You kind of just need your O-line to stay healthy. I don't know if this is a problem unique to us.
I'm not saying it's unique, but if you're looking for chinks in the armor there, that could be one of them long term.
Totally.
Granted, if we stay healthy, it's not an issue. And I hope
so
we do.
So far, so good.
Believe me.
So far, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, really, it's just tackle is the position in question, it seems. Like you said, we got Glasgow, we got Sorsdahl. We got a couple guys you could plug in the middle that we feel okay about, but we don't.
You guys
really
sound
have
like
a Sorsdahl's
a sure thing in the middle. I wouldn't.
I'm not saying he's sure thing, but I'm just saying we have nothing at tackle behind our starting two. Like that's the position where we're clearly the weakest.
I'd say all indications are that Sorsdahl is doing okay, a pretty good job, and I don't think there's any doubt he's making this team.
No, I wouldn't say that either, for sure. Because so you have our starting five, and then you have Sorsdahl, Hermain Ilfadi, and a Matt Nelson. I guess maybe Matt Nelson makes the roster, but then gets cut shortly after, practice squad in case of emergency type guy because he knows the offense really well.
Yeah. I mean, they know him. Yeah, they've worked with him enough the last year or two. I mean, so they know what he can give them during the season. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
But, yes, I agree. Is it fair to grade these quarterbacks in the preseason? Like Sudfeld, for instance, when he's playing with, a very porous offensive line performance like we saw in this game.
Yeah.
I feel like not overall, but you can always look at individual plays and see. Yeah. Like, he was not connecting with JMO even when he had time. And I think that's concerning.
And then the two-minute drill, he threw a punt basically over the middle of the field to set up the Jaguars for a late score near the end of the first half. That was ugly, too. And so it's not looking good for Sudfeld.
I'm surprised he's still on the roster.
Don't you guys think that the real reps come in those joint practices more than these preseason?
Yeah, I think they do.
But that's also why Jared Goff takes most of those reps too. So
yeah, I think that's where they're going to be judging this stuff more. I mean, some of the guys reps, they were hoping to get JMO out there, but
yeah,
I wouldn't read too much in all these.
It's hard. I mean, every year
people who aren't sure things.
Since you
every year you hear people thinking about banning the preseason, like it's just hard to get any real gauge off these guys, in my opinion.
But I think
it's
since
a chance
they get
for
rid of
the low
one of the
guy
games
on the roster to prove themselves. Whoa. Like,
yeah, Red Dog.
Yeah, it's a chance for guys like Chase Cota, for even Julian Okwara, like to get out there and show what it's like, what they can handle when the lights are on and stuff. No, it's not about seeing where your team is. It's not about seeing where your team is currently at. This is about deep evaluation. So, yeah, I get why it's not the most entertaining thing for fans. But, like, if you're paying attention to this roster, you know, you're kind of paying attention to the stories. There's a lot going on during these games, and guys are winning and losing roster spots. So, I mean, I know it's not the most enjoyable thing, but there is a lot of important things going on in these preseason games.
Bob?
Yeah, I mean, I lost my train of thought there, but I was just thinking that since they got rid of that last preseason game, I mean, they went from three, that those joint practices are even more important, I guess, to what the teams are evaluating.
Great. Yeah.
And, I mean, the preseason's fun, something to talk about, but I don't know. I don't know how much you really get out of that.
Well, remember Zach Zettner, the preseason rushing leader?
Right. Tim Tune was a legend. Mr. Real Great Preseason. Then he was done.
I remember we were at that preseason game and we were going Tune every time he made the slightest bit of a play.
Yeah, that was amazing. My favorite preseason memory. Sure.
Do you guys think Sudfeld makes the roster?
Yes.
No. Emergency quarterback.
Yes, you can. That's the interesting part. Is if he would be the emergency quarterback or not. I would imagine they let him get cut and try to make it on another team. But
I think they're getting three quarterbacks on the roster, Goff, Bridgewater, and Sudfeld. That's my...
So you do think Sudfeld stays?
Yeah.
I do, personally, but I know I'm alone in that.
I just said I agree.
I don't think they want him to play at all, period, no matter the circumstance.
Yeah, I don't think Hooker's this year.
That's
no.
been the communication
no.
from there.
Sudfeld's going to get his ring on the bench and then hand it off to Hooker next year.
Good scenario. I like that.
What do we think about Jack Campbell in this game? He 7 tackles in this game. Played a lot of snaps again. Do we think he starts game one, or do we think Derek Barnes says that right now?
That's the question, man.
It seems to be trending to Barnes being the starter, to at least start this season.
I think they're giving Barnes the shot, but the moment he messes up, Jack Campbell's going to be there. I think Barnes starts week one.
No.
I don't know. I think Campbell.
I'm not 100% sure.
Like, at this point, I don't know.
I feel like they're giving him a lot of reps right now just because they want him to just get more exposure to everything because they know what he's capable of. I think he's more like, I mean, Barnes, if he wins it, I think that's awesome for him, but I think Campbell's got this. I think he's going to come. He's got just too much going upside-wise.
And I think having Campbell there is Barnes' game, you know, because he's got to fight for the spot now. So
yeah,
we're going to need the depth, so everyone's going to get to play, but matter of who starts that first game.
I can see him rolling a 4-3 setup on the first play or something like that, where Barnes and Campbell start next to each other with Anzalone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, starting, you know, isn't that big a deal, if you ask me. I mean, like when you're in college or high school, if you were the starter, you were the starter, you know. But now, just the way they shuffle guys in and out, doesn't mean you could start the game and you might not play as much as the other guys. So, it, you know, it's all just a, I don't know.
Right. Especially as a rookie. There's no need to, you know, throw him to the wolves immediately.
No.
Especially at that position.
You know who else?
A lot of,
I think Jack Campbell would take, catch the wolves and eat them. Throw them out there.
Yeah.
So, all right. I mean,
hey, can I point out one other guy, though, since we're on that subject of the linebackers? Rodrigo's a fucking stud.
Yeah,
dude. Rodrigo's a stud. That guy is so good. When him and Campbell were on the field together, they were making some awesome plays, man. And Rodrigo just takes on linemen like, man, he's incredible. Man, he's like a human missile, you know? And then the subject came up. I like to read a lot of comments from different websites and stuff with the fans. And one of the things I've been kind of trending a little bit, let Kabinda go use Rodrigo at situational fullback situations, because he'd be a terror, man. You send him through the line blocking.
I could see that.
Good Lord. He would destroy some people. I just like that idea.
Yep. It might be slightly insulting to the fullback position that you just think a linebacker can just go do it, but maybe, maybe he's uniquely talented for it.
You see the way he attacks linemen, and he's not
a cannonball,
huge guy, but
he's not a big guy at all.
Attacks him viciously. I mean, viciously attacks him.
Every bit of his skill set, like you see that wrestler in him. You see, like he's always over his center of gravity, like. He's so damn strong, and he knows how to make up for his disadvantages. He just shoots into the guts of these giants. Like, they just can't handle it.
I just had to bring that up because no one seems to be talking about him. And everything I've seen in the preseason, he's just looking really good. So,
well, we don't have Bart Knox to follow him around this year. I haven't watched the
inside. Did you guys watch
stuff too much?
You don't watch it? It's like just like Hard Knocks. It's awesome.
Yeah, it's like a mini Hard Knocks, the last one.
I understand. I just haven't seen the last one with a new little guy to invest my time.
Prioritize, Z. Come on. Lions over babies.
Yeah, instead of putting a Bluey on, put it on the Lions videos, you know, for the baby.
Yeah.
So here's an interesting development that came out of this game, possibly. At least, you know, I kind of look around the reporters and such who they think will make the roster, and there's been a lot of talk about Dylan Drummond lately, but at least according to Kyle Benke of MLive, he thinks Dylan Drummond gets cut, Antoine Green gets cut, Maurice Alexander, Trinity Benson, Jason Moore, Avery Davis, but Chase Kota stays in the receiver room, at least until J-Mo comes back. And Denzel Mims, that did not last.
No.
He came and he left us as soon as he came, basically, which is disappointing. I thought, I don't know what's going on with him, because he was a great college receiver. But it surprised me he can't stay.
Well, he's banged up, right? Like, he got hurt.
Yeah, he got hurt. But
Yeah, but he wasn't hurt with the Jets most of the time and didn't stick around there. So, I'm not, like, it would take more than just getting hurt. Like, he must have not shown anything when he was healthy to warrant getting cut.
Kota over Drummond on the roster.
Yeah, like do we have a preference? Drummond. Do we have a preference over one of the two? Kota,
I'm leaning Kota. I think he's got the sure hands, and he's got the size and speed that Drummond just doesn't have.
Yeah. I like Kota's been great in the preseason. I don't know. Drummond's got experience. So
he showed wait, Drummond has experience? What do you mean?
Well, no, I guess, yeah, I guess.
They're both all rookies, right?
Forget.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, all right.
You're right.
Kota had that really nice punt return too, which was not his like typical skill set. They're asking him to show what he can do in other arenas, and they're really kicking the tires on this guy. And I think he's answering every challenge they're throwing his way. And that size, I think I've seen like Jordy Nelson comps. Like, he's big and fast, and that's hard to teach.
Yeah,
you can't.
And I saw a theory out there too, where let's just say we release both those guys and hope to get them back on the practice squad. who's the most likely, if we release Drummond and Coda, who's the least likely to get picked up on the waiver wire there?
Yeah, I would agree.
Exactly. Exactly. So just from that reasoning alone, you let that go and keep Coda on the roster and put and let Drummond go to the practice squad, which I'm sure they want to do. They like the kid a lot. So I see that as the better option personally.
Yeah, I mean, I do too. And then, like, Antoine Green could probably even make the practice squad now because I don't think he showed much of anything this camp, which is just fine for where we drafted him. Well, hopefully we can hold on to him and he can develop a little bit for next year.
Yeah, Coda just has slightly better traits over Drummond as far as
significantly that projection.
Looking forward, like UJ said, I like that a lot, UJ. If you got a guy who's more likely to get picked up, it's Coda for sure.
Yeah. You know, and it's not like, you know, he was undrafted, but they paid him a big chunk of money as an undrafted free agent. They paid him, I think, $80,000, which is a lot of money for an undrafted free agent. So he basically is a late round draft pick, more or less. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah. And he's showing it.
Sure.
He's showing it in the season. Like, Drummond has dropped passes in preseason, whereas Coda has stepped up and made plays left and right. He's like built like a tight end almost, but with a little leaner and faster. Like I think he could be an absolute nightmare at the back end of our receiving depth.
Yeah, this could be one of those Holmes jewels that he finds, you know.
Yeah.
So it could be. So we'll see. I mean, obviously it's early, but he has shown a lot of good signs. So I'm leaning that way definitely toward Drummond. I mean, not Drummond, Coda.
Yeah, Coda. I would agree. Yeah. I would agree. Was, at the very least, a red zone target. The Lions don't have like a lot of. I mean, Josh, how tall is Josh Reynolds? 6'2"? I would have
6'3". 6'3"?
Reynolds is 6'3".
Either way, it gives them another red zone target on like a fade route or something of that nature that they need. So,
our tallest weapon is 6'3". I don't think we have anyone taller than that.
We'll go to 6'4". Yeah.
Oh, no. I guess Brock Wright is 6'5", but he's not the best vertical weapon.
And actually, I'm glad you mentioned Brock Wright, because that's what I want to go to next really briefly, is that I found it really interesting that Sam Laporta did not dress for this game, and Brock Wright took a lot of snaps along with James Mitchell, and Daniel Hellman, Daryl Daniel. But I just found it interesting that they didn't dress Laporta. They had him in street clothes on the side, healthy, while Brock Wright took snaps. So that just shows you who they value, I think. A little more over the other.
I think so.
I think Brock Wright plays a super important role in this offense. So it surprised me a little bit that he was out there too.
Brock Wright might have not wanted to. He might have insisted. Who knows? He seems kind of crazy. I don't know. Maybe he's like, I want to be out there.
Who wants to stand on the sidelines, man? That sucks.
I think Laporte is going to have a
football.
Big year for a tight end. We went over the record, but Mike Dicka has like pretty much a near impossible record to break as far as rookie tight end receiving and definitely touchdown record, 12 touchdowns as a rookie tight end in the 60s. Pretty nuts. Man. But
I really just love the makeup of that tight end room now. Honestly, between those three guys, like I feel like we're going to be able to do so many different looks with those guys, and they all bring a slightly different skill set. And and they're not one of them isn't somewhat dynamic. Like even Brock Wright can break out on you for long gains, but like
I think Mitchell's going to have some big games.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So. Very athletic. Yeah,
definitely another sneaky receiving threat for the Lions, for sure.
Yeah, yeah.
But a guy whose stock is down, we discussed him last week a little, and he just hasn't shown anything yet, so iffy, Molifonwu.
Yeah.
Continues just the tackle's not getting the right spot. I don't know if he makes the roster. Does anybody here?
Yeah, plus
he does? I don't think he will.
Well, it's really hard too because Brady Breeze and Chase Coda, I'm loving that like family connection. So I'm kind of hoping Breeze can make the roster, and that just doesn't bode well for Iffy. And that's important.
Breeze is a long shot, though. Unfortunately,
I was just kind of kidding, but I did love that. Like, I love how these family members kept winding up on our team now. It's kind of fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, Iffy is definitely iffy to make this roster.
Ooh, yep. Clever.
Well, that's the exact same line we used last week over discussed them. So.
And it works. It works.
Yeah, indeed. Another roster bubble guy that seems to have played himself on to the roster is Stephen Gilmore's younger brother, Stephen Gilmore. Or Stephon Gilmore's younger brother, Stephen Gilmore. Everybody is projecting him to make the roster. He's had pretty good camp. Played really well in this Jacksonville game, despite 148-yard play that he gave up early on in the game. But he's young. But I think they're really high on this guy, especially with the, you know, the family history with his brother being all pro. I think they might be willing to take a chance on a guy that also is producing. So, thoughts on this guy, Gilmore making the roster here?
Yeah, he seems to have traits that they like. One of his is a very short memory. If he makes a mistake and he just comes right back fighting, he doesn't let things bother him. He seems to have that right demeanor, and he's shown it too. I mean, he's willing and able. I mean, he just wants to go. He's got that desire. He definitely seems like one of those Campbell guys that we talk about so much. And he's showing it on the field too. So yeah, he's earning it. He's definitely earning the spot.
Definitely.
There's a reason pedigree, you know, people look at pedigree. It matters. It's not everything, but like you just said, that composure and stuff, like that's often what comes when you're in a family of people who have performed at this level before. He has that unique, you know, background that makes him.
It's like when we had Gronk, who was also a tight end. And I don't think he made it out of camp, though.
It's not everything.
I mean, it's also why some of these guys get a chance just because they have the bloodline.
Yeah, Lombardi. Yeah.
Sure.
Well, that's the coaching aspect. But,
great example there, yeah.
Any other players that we wanted to kind of highlight here from the second preseason game that stood out to you, good or bad? I mean, we had 35 rushing yards, 114 passing yards. This was a really boring game to watch as a Lion.
Yeah.
On a Saturday afternoon.
Craig Reynolds is definitely firmly in that three spot.
Yeah, I think so. I think you're right.
He didn't really do much. Like, I don't know what to say about the running backs. But, I mean,
Julian Aquara
Julian
mixed bag.
Yeah, we should talk about Julian for a second, though.
Sure, Bob, let's talk about him again.
Bob, what are you saying?
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, I think he makes the team because he's been like a question. A lot of people, he's going to be the guy. If we lose an Aquara, it'll be him. But I think he makes it. What do you guys think?
So. I'm very iffy on that one. I think it'll come down to a numbers game. And if it does come down to a numbers game, I think he is the one who unfortunately gets cut.
I do too.
So,
and Pride of Detroit and M Live also agree.
You know, even in that last, even in the second game, he made a sack. And then I was watching it not too long after that. He just made an awful, awful play on a sure tackle just blew. It was ugly. And it's his consistency. And I think that's what Cam and those guys have been harping on him for so long for the last 2 years. So that's what I think is going to cost him. I mean, he has obvious talent and he flashes it, but not all the time.
Yeah. I think a lot of people
have talked about trying to trade him.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, the other guy they were talking about trading him is James Houston. He had a pretty good game here, from his side of things, 6 tackles, 1 sack, and there was a lot of talk about maybe the Lions trading James Houston while his stock is high.
Nope, because ain't happening.
I feel like James Houston definitely stays.
But at least he's good at one thing, you know? It's good to be good at one
thing. His performance last year already won in this year's chances.
No, but he's flashing this year, too. I mean, he's making some good plays. So, he's staying, man. This guy's got too much upside.
He doesn't always look great, like, in coverage, but he does have some great moments.
Yeah, I guess it's wishful thinking on my Julian Aquara thing, but he's on the bubble. But I think who knows?
Yeah, he might. He might
say bubble, but
He might.
I'm not going to be mad if he makes it. If he makes it, I will not be upset.
Neither will I.
Yeah, I hope he makes it. Because I got we got a little taste of the Aquara Bash Brothers in that first preseason game when they're both getting sacks and stuff. That was awesome. And he so does look the part. Like, he looks like he could be an elite edge defender in this league if he can just string together that kind of play consistently. But, you know.
Julian Aquara, no tackles in this game, one quarterback hits.
I thought he got a sack.
Well, maybe it was a hit. Maybe it was a hit. Yeah.
We had three sacks in this game. One was from Houston, another from Kaminsky, and a half sack each for Benito Jones and Josh Pascal.
Okay. Jeez, all right.
Benito Jones still just getting after it. Like, that man is playing himself onto this roster. It's ridiculous.
He is.
Like, when you're that big and you're still getting to the quarterback, come on.
Yeah, I'd rather have Benito Jones, I think, than Aquara.
But then that brings into question Anzarike. That's the other person I feel like who's like right on the edge of this all. Like,
I don't think he's as close to the edge as you're thinking he is.
I'm just trying to, like, where's the numbers? Like, how many D tackles and D ends do you think we take? Because, like, right now we got McNeil, Bugs, freaking Broderick Martin, Benito Jones, and Levi Anzarike. Right. Like, and then that's like Kirsten Covington and whatnot. But, like, that's five if we keep the guys with the big name recognition and Benito Jones. And then what, like, D ends? We have too many. We have like six or seven we want to keep. I'm trying to figure out who's. There's guys at the edge of this. It's hard to tell who exactly.
Well, that's why it's going to be tough, man. We're gonna lose a good guy one way or the other. So it's gonna be hard.
And Jones, the roster.
I think so too. Yeah, actually,
I do too.
There's been some word out there that the Lions have been practicing a lot more five man fronts, during camp, which require more interior D linemen, which would warrant maybe the extra roster spot for an interior D lineman.
Okay,
so.
And Anzarike has edge versatility and skill set.
Right.
And if it doesn't work out with Anzarike, they can cut him.
Right. And he's still building up to his, full strength because, coming off the back thing, he didn't have a full off season, but he seems to get a stronger game by game. So, they're not getting rid of him.
Pascal back, two second rounders. Now all of a sudden, Brad Holmes is look like that's the other little thing, too. I feel like, do you think that buys him a little bit more like leeway on this being a second round pick that they want to see make this team?
I don't know at this point.
I mean, ideally, you shouldn't, right? Like,
theoretically, but these guys do look at what's out there and who's performing. And I think they do this more than most teams. They really, really, really look at the performance and not his draft status and all that other stuff.
I agree.
Right.
So who's ever doing it? Who's doing the job, man? So speaking of a guy doing the job, I'll tell you, Jack Fox is a star.
He's the MVP of this game.
You know, we might not use the muster in this upcoming season, maybe once or twice a game. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe sometimes not at all. He's going to be like cooling off on the bench a lot, trying to keep warm, but when we need him though, the guy's awesome. He's amazing.
Eight punts in this game, UJ. He got plenty of work in.
Yeah.
Scott Daly's been snapping the hell out of the ball.
Snapping the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. What a snapper.
Snapper snapper.
Well,
I don't know why that's funny. It's not even funny. But anyway,
not either.
Anyway,
snapper.
Anyway,
red snapper.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
So I want to bring up the Jameson Williams injury. He pulls up on a deep ball with his hamstring, and he's out for the rest of the preseason. Then he's obviously has 6 weeks, and it's the Lions are not thrilled about it because now they've because it seems like it's gonna be a longer term injury than 2 weeks. So and he can't work with the training staff while he is suspended, so they have to find like a third party to nurse him, you know, to rehab him basically before he comes back for week 7. It's not
that's kind of a crazy rule.
Yeah,
can't even see the training staff.
That's kind of stupid.
Yeah,
yeah. Even like if, but maybe you like see the training staff and like zero contact. If he has any sort of contact, then he they could suspend him longer. I guess I don't know what the penalty is exactly. So they take the contact.
I just can't
seriously wait
for it to be over.
So the Lions are basically just trying to mitigate that situation. But I mean, do you think this hurts his development at all, not being able to play in the final 2 weeks of the preseason?
I mean, maybe a little bit. It's lost time.
Maybe he'll.
Yeah.
But it's not that big a deal. He just needs to get healthy and get to week 7 and so start playing some real football. Like,
yeah,
I think
yeah.
everything, like all this overblown nonsense about his situation, like, yeah, was I frustrated when like this whole thing, the suspension came down? Like, yeah, but like everyone has been people have been milking this for everything it's worth and then some. And like this kid is just trying to string together good days, and like every little thing he does is micro analyzed, and I'm just so tired of it. So the fact that he's just kind of put on ice for now and we can stop talking about it until he comes back is almost like nice.
They should send him to Calvin Johnson's dispensary like Luke went to Dagobah, you know, and Calvin Johnson can train him and bring into the fold.
Oh,
and then week 7, he'll be ready to go.
Yeah.
Wow.
I just pictured Calvin Johnson as like Yoda walking around a little cave.
You must go to the Johnson system.
Yeah.
Find Megatron.
Here.
The Allspark.
It would be an amazing story. That's all I'm gonna say.
That would be an amazing story.
That would be. I think
we write it. He literally just needs to learn to catch.
Oh, who's in the bong?
Hey, J-Bo, come over here.
Or he could just hit the jugs machine. I don't know. But the Kelvin story sounds more fun.
Yeah,
it does.
But
I think Bridgewater and Marvin Jones, they're going to set this guy right, man. As far as getting him up to speed.
I think so.
I mean, he's got some good mentors out there, so I think he'll be good.
I agree. I'm not worried about him. I just want him out there playing.
Yeah, and I think
what do you guys think of, well said, we might have addressed this on the past pod, but he'll never have great hands. Like, that's not his, you know. Like,
that was a weird comment.
J-Mo.
Like, almost like maybe he was, like, calling him out a little bit, like, jabbing him. I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean, he's pretty honest in his interviews, like Dan Campbell. He's more transparent than a lot of other NFL coaches. He's kind of calling, like, so far, Jameson Williams hasn't shown elite catching ability like that of Amon-Ra St. Brown, for instance.
But he's got other skills that make him, you know, first rounder. So
right,
super speed and if he can like catch them all, said, that'd be amazing.
Like, his floor is like DeSean Jackson, like that inconsistent home run throw.
Yeah,
like, or like what's his name from the Notre Dame who played for the Texans? Like, just speedsters who never quite became great receivers, but hey, they're dangerous as hell. And you know, if that's all he becomes, Amon-Ra and stuck up all the rest of the yardage, we're good. Just be that deadly weapon.
He could still become a very capable catcher, even if he's not Amon-Ra level with the hands.
Yeah.
Like,
he could become. Yeah.
He's by far the fastest receiver we have. I think that alone.
I don't think
speed alone will help.
Absolutely.
Free up other guys.
Yeah. Brad, well, I don't think Dan was saying he can't become an elite, like, hands receiver. I think he's just saying that's not why they drafted him. Like, that's not what he was, like, that's not their main concern, is that he becomes, like, that main, like, fight for every catch. Like, they're expecting him to have plenty of uncontested catches because he's just so damn fast.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Or screens in space.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be really exciting to see him get back, especially his impact in the playoffs. I think it's going to be huge.
Playoffs?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you guys think of Ibrahim getting cut?
He did nothing to really impress me.
He didn't really. I was hoping he would coming in when they got him. I was kind of excited, but he didn't really do much.
His rap got to Minnesota.
They got to add U of D legend Scott Nelson. So,
oh yeah, good talk about who's and who's what's U of D, Connor?
Are we moving on from Ibrahim?
U of D Jesuit, my high school in Detroit, Michigan.
You know,
class of 20. I do not know him personally, but class of 2017, U of D, 4-year starter, really solid. Had a good career at Wisconsin, but had a leg injury in 2019 that basically ended his season. He's kind of bounced around with the Seahawks and the Steelers a bit last year, like what didn't get drafted. He seems like he could be a textbook practice squad guy, but you know, he's a UD guy, so I'm gonna give him my love and pray he eventually makes the team this year. That'd be awesome.
Can you sing the UD fight song?
Yeah, you should sing that. Sing that.
I'm not gonna sing that right now, but you know, I do know it.
Prove it.
All right,
you guys do not want to hear me sing.
He makes the roster and gets a pick on the pod.
All right.
Yeah.
Whenever he gets called up to the roster, I will sing the fight song.
Okay.
All right.
All it needs to be is a call up. He doesn't need to like make a play. He just needs to make the starting roster.
How about if he makes the practice squad?
I think he is going to make the practice squad. So
you're singing then. Damn it.
All right. Yep. Fine. If he makes the practice squad, I'll sing the song.
All right.
Connor, I still think it has the edge though. We had Kenny Golladay, Ryan Donahue, and Pat O'Connor, who they drafted.
That's true. Golladay might be the worst receiver in the league, though.
That's true.
Do you really want to claim him?
Well, yes, Stafford made the star, and then
Stafford did make him a lot of money.
Then he found out what life was like.
I'm not going to say that U of D produces the talent that Rita does, but, you know, we got our guys. I mean, you guys are still playing second fiddle to Mount Carmel, right? Like, pretty much every season?
Not every season.
All right. Anyway, I don't know how many of our listeners know what we're talking about.
They know we're talking football. That's
brother
right. That's right. Matters.
A lot of our Michigan listeners will probably know what my high school is, but we'll see.
Yeah.
Can I go off subject just for a second?
Yeah.
Did anybody watch a Johnny Manziel special, man?
I've heard good things about it, but no, I've not seen
it. It's worth a watch. It's so interesting.
He never watched tape, right? Is that what they're
saying? No, never watched tape. He just when the Browns drafted him, and they give him the iPad, you know, and they can monitor his time that he spent on it. He spent 0.0 minutes reading. None. Zero.
But I knew he wasn't going to work out, but it wasn't even worse than I thought.
Well, he was just a, you know.
How do they not scout that?
Yeah. Well, most teams did. The Browns didn't, obviously. But it's just a very interesting story, nonetheless. If you get a chance to watch it, I say give it a watch, man. It's
football.
I know he talked really about like, spending $5 million and trying to kill himself. I saw that.
Leading
up to it. That was pretty crazy.
No, the guy's... He was so messed up from fame and all that other stuff, and the big party animal. Just
he tried to kill himself. The gun clicked.
Malfunctioned. Wow. Anyway,
poor little rich kid. Yeah.
Speaker.
Yeah. So I don't know how that relates to the Lions. There was a little tinge part of me that was a JMO comparison, like he's gone for 7 weeks or 6 weeks. Like, what's he going to be doing?
Don't
man?
Put that evil.
Are we
going to
be seeing pictures of him in like Vegas with strippers and stuff like that? No, I'm just kidding. Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
JMO already said he's going to be just keeping his head down and training.
JMO's fine. He's fine. He's fine.
And strippers.
Yeah. Well, that's a good time to wrap up this podcast.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
it's a week two of the preseason. There's one more preseason game. The Lions are on national TV actually on Friday, playing the Panthers. That's in Carolina. I don't know if Bryce Young or anybody notable is really going to be playing in that one, but you know, there's not much on a Friday night this time of year. Might be a good time to tune in to watch the Lions. So check that out. Otherwise, I will be reacting to that with our final roster projections and then our season predictions. We don't need to get predictions for preseason game 3, but
no.
Wait, you, Joe, were you for them to win now? That's all I want to know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They can win now. They can win all they want now. All they want. I just need that one preseason loss, okay? I'm sorry, but that's the curse thing of 08.
Pretty weird.
All right.
I'll never forget it. It's still etched in my mind, and I can't let it go.
All right.
Let it go, UJ. Let it go.
Nope.
Come on, Elsa, let it go. Why can't you? You?
Let it go. Let it go.
All right. So okay. Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid. Twitter at /X at Drinking Lions.
Okay. X.
That.
X going to give
Sidelinereport.com. Thank you for hosting the podcast. Go check that out. It's on the top right there, hit podcast. Although, if you're listening to this, you found the podcast already. But for those that you send it to that need to find it. Anyways. And thank you to our producer, of course, Kid J.
Kid J.
For producing the podcast, always crushing it. He also wanted to say that Jameson Williams needs Mr. Miyagi. So he must find that a funny, whimsical comment.
Jameson.
So you do you, Kid J, our producer.
Jameson.
Jameson.
Wax on, wax off.
Oh, yeah.
Oh boy.
Anyways, so I think that's it. Like I said, we'll be back early next week talking about the roster cuts and previewing the season and giving our season predictions, which I know in this group, I think I know how those will go. So thank you everybody for listening. Good. We greatly appreciate it. And last but not least, as always, Go!
Lions!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock! Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Go.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.